CFWHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. In Gaza, hospitals are struggling mightily to care for patients. This doctor spoke with the BBC.
The situation in the hospital is catastrophic.
The doctor says the hospital is barely functioning. CBS's Deborah Patta says another hospital is in even more dire straits.
At Al-Shifa Hospital, there is no room left in the morgue for those who could not be saved. Gaza's health system is on its knees. Exhausted staff work in the dark, with no medicine, no equipment, no hope.
Monday, President Biden said the hospital, the largest in Gaza, quote, must be protected. The U.S., in fact, continues to pressure Israel to minimize civilian casualties as Israel attacks Hamas positions in Gaza. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
We continue to have discussions at all levels, including President Biden with Prime Minister Netanyahu, to urge Israel to continue taking every possible measure to protect civilians.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says a fire that has forced the closure of a major highway through downtown Los Angeles was likely deliberately set.
Arson appears to be the likely ignition for this fire.
An elevated stretch of I-10 is now closed indefinitely, making always bad traffic in downtown L.A. even worse. Students and teachers at the University of Idaho on Monday remembered the four students who were killed a year ago.
We are gathered a year after an event that shook many of our lives. No words could make this day any less hard. Kaylee, Maddie, Zanna, and Ethan still live on in stories and memories shared, and they will always be guiding those who love them.
The man police believe killed the four was arrested about 6 weeks after the killings. Prosecutors want him sentenced to death. The maker of Dodge, Chrysler, and Jeep vehicles is offering buyouts again to thousands of its employees. WWJ radio reporter Jeff Gilbert has more from Detroit.
Stellantis is offering voluntary separation packages to 6,400 salaried workers. This is their second buyout offer of the year. In addition to higher labor costs, Stellantis is dealing with the cost of associated with developing new electric vehicles.
The Consumer Price Index for October will be released Tuesday morning. Bankrate Chief Financial Analyst Greg McBride.
The term slower inflation is likely an oxymoron to consumers that are taking no solace in the fact that prices aren't rising as fast because they're still rising. The cumulative effect of inflation has really strained household budgets. It's undermined buying power. And the Consumer Price Index is up more than 18%. In the past 3 years.
Monday on Wall Street, the Nasdaq closed down about 0.25%. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. The Todd Alba Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 96 people in Wisconsin died from domestic violence last year. That's the highest number in 22 years. Those numbers are from the group End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. Some social workers tell the State Journal they're worried the situation will get worse with looming cuts to federal victim resource funding. There might be trouble ahead for efforts to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee. The state Senate votes Tuesday on an amended bill to pay for maintenance at American Family Field. But as of Monday night, not enough senators support it to pass. Democratic Minority Leader Melissa Agard.
We believe that we can improve upon the bill, and we're going to continue doing everything that we can to make sure that the state of Wisconsin is getting the best deal possible.
That's Agard on Upfront on WISN-TV in Milwaukee. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
It's the Bucks and the Bulls. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks and Chicago Bulls at five serve form tonight. The Bucks are 5-4. The Bulls 4-6. College football. Head coach Luke Fickell very upset with what he describes as a complete breakdown of the Badgers football team in their 24-10 loss to Northwestern on Saturday. By the way, Northwestern looking for a new head coach, and word is one of their candidates could be former Badgers head coach Paul Christ. NFL, the Packers back in Green Bay after losing to the Steelers 23-19. Today, the Packers Hall of Fame announced two new inductees for next year. They are Clay Matthews and former defensive end Aaron Capman. Baseball, at a press conference in Chicago today, Craig Counsell introduced as the new manager of the Cubs. Counsell said he actually thought about moving on from the Brewers as far back as 2 years ago.
You know, really a pretty long time span. I just thought that a new challenge was where I had to push myself.
As Cubs manager Craig Counsell with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies here in the overnight. Light south winds and temperatures down around 34 degrees at daybreak. We'll have a mix of clouds and sunshine, though, working in on Tuesday. That south breeze up around 35, the high 60. Cooler on Wednesday, sunny and up to 58. Right now it's 28.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. A happy Big Monday happy hour. Happier Big Monday happy hour. If I can say it, I'll be happy, Dom.
I'm happy. Happy, happy days, Gertie.
Dom, here's where I want to start this hour. A, by giving our phone number so you can join us, 844-967-2789. Number two, Dom, third-party candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. could be the Ross Perot. He could change the electoral outcome. And, you know, the polling I was bemoaning last week, the swing state polling, the Donald Trump beating Joe Biden polling. Well, Don,
the oversampled of Republicans polling.
When you throw a little RFK Jr. in there, changes the entire dynamic of the vote. And he's got small ears and a strange habit on airplane flights. We'll get to that in a minute. How RFK Jr. could change the outcome of the 2024 election, Don. This math changes dramatically, at least in current polling. There are a few things you could be more certain of in life than a Democrat or a Republican winning a U.S. presidential election. We don't usually do third parties or independents in this country. Chances are Democrat Joe Biden, I hate to even say this, or Republican Donald Trump will be elected a year from now. But it would be foolish to diminish what the current polls are telling us. Independent Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is polling higher than any independent or third-party candidate in a generation. He, along with other non-major party candidates, has a real chance to affect the outcome in the 2024. I know we touched on this a little, Dom. Take a look at a recent Quinnipiac University poll. Kennedy hit 22% amongst registered voters. According to the author of this article, that struck me as very high, so I went to the polling vault. The last independent presidential candidate to earn over 20% support in a poll within a year of the election, the ear guy. The sucking sounds, your job's going to Mexico. Ross Perot. He like sounded like George W. before George W. In 1992. He ended up getting 19% of the popular vote that year, Dom. And he probably made Bill Clinton the president. Now, Perot is a bit of an exception in that independent or third-party candidates usually fade as the election nears. Dom, do you recall John Anderson?
Nope.
John Anderson was polling above 20% during the 1980 campaign before pulling in just 7% in November. In 1968, former Alabama Governor George Wallace topped out at 21% in pre-election polling as a third-party candidate before picking up 14% when the votes were cast. The amazing thing, though, is that these three have been the only non-major party candidates in the history of polling to hit more than 20% within a year of the election. And Kennedy is now part of that select group. Moreover, those three prior candidates ended up getting above 5%, if not 10%, in the final outcome. So what would that do, Don? We talked about those swing state polls, the New York Times, what was it? Siena College surveys. And Kennedy was in the high teens to 25% in the six closest states that Biden won in the 2020 over Trump. Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Michigan. 17 to 25% currently polling, according to the very same polls that have Trump beating Joe Biden. And the Time Siena polls were notable, of course, because they sent some Democrats into a tizzy like Dom and Republicans into euphoria earlier this week.
Trump, I wouldn't say I was in a tizzy, Crudy.
Well, somebody was.
No, I think it was you.
Trump came, I don't remember that. Trump came in with a higher share of the vote than Biden in five of those states among registered voters and in four of them among likely voters. And if the final results matched those polls, Trump would win the election. But here's the wild card, Dom. You gonna throw the wild card in?
Yeah, I'll throw it in here. This is from CNN.com from a couple of days ago. But when Kennedy was introduced as an option among likely voters, Trump was ahead of Biden in only two states, Georgia and Nevada. His five-point leads in Arizona and Pennsylvania disappeared into ties. Biden held a well within the margin of error edge in Pennsylvania, while the two were tied in Michigan. Put another way, a clear Trump polling lead became a jumbled mess with no clear favorite to win in the Electoral College, thanks to Kennedy. Both Biden at 34%, Trump at 36%, were south of 40% in an aggregate across six states. The fact that an independent candidate could take such a large chunk of the vote shouldn't be surprising. Both Biden's and Trump's unfavorability ratings were in the high 50s in the Time Siena poll, as well as others. They tied with Democrat Hillary Clinton and Trump in 2016 as the two least liked frontrunners for their party's nomination in polling history. But CNN goes on, given all that, it's no surprise we're seeing other independent and third-party candidates jumping in or potentially jumping into the 2024 race. Independent Cornell West got 6% and 4% in recent Quinnipiac and CNN SSRS surveys. Jill Stein announced Thursday she was running for the Green Party nomination in 2024. She had about 1% of the vote nationally in 2016, but notably earned more votes in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin than Trump's winning margins over Clinton in those states. We've talked about that a lot. Also on Thursday, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin said he would not run for re-election next year. He was entertaining the idea of running as a third-party candidate earlier this year. Manchin took 10% as a no-labels candidate in a PRRI poll during the summer. Now, as CNN goes on, none of these non-major party candidates are likely to win. That, though, really isn't the point when talking about them. They're worth talking about because they are far more likely than usual to take a large chunk of the vote from major parties, which a lot of Americans feel disenchanted with. The ultimate winner could come in with well less than a majority. Whew.
Well less. I mean, some of the math I'd seen stacking up Kennedy against the two better known top of the ticket probables had, these guys in the mid 30s. If he's capturing 20, they're only in the mid 30s now. That would really mess up the math.
Rigged. Do you buy it? I mean, do you buy it? Do you think that? I mean, here's the thing about polling. Polling is a snapshot, right? We don't know, right? I mean, we don't know what has going to happen with Donald Trump. I know, we all know, but how that plays out electorally, we don't know. Joe Biden apparently right now still running, but again, older men, the tail end of their political careers, anything can happen in another year from now. So there's a long way to go And this junior dude, man, he's got some weird plane etiquette.
Well, I was going to say lots can change. Tim Scott quit the race. Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina. Staff didn't see that one coming, I guess.
His
staff was blindsided, apparently.
Oh, did he stick it to him?
I'm not clear if he's going to pay their severance on the way out, but they're not making it to Iowa. Now, I'm sort of Scott Walker-esque in that regard. But
is DeSantis going to make it to Iowa, Curdy?
I think he's all in on Iowa. DeSantis is, Ramaswamy is, and of course Nikki Haley are. They all are. Because it's their only gasp. Finishing second to Trump in Iowa is like, it's the only possible way they could gain trajectory. Like if everybody galvanizes around the silver medalist. Now understand, the first guy could have run the marathon in 2 hours, and the silver medalist could be Chris Christie back here at 42 hours. You know what I'm saying? It's not necessarily going to be a close race.
Yeah, but it's also, not going to necessarily be a sprint either. And if Chris Christie turtles his way into the convention with Trump at the top of the ticket as a convicted felon, there's a lot of what ifs out there, man.
Well, here's the reason. Here's the early rationale from my point of view. It's not the vaccine denialism. And, Bobby Kennedy Jr. played out on Ring of Fire for years on the former progressive mic, WXXM, here in Madison. Him and Mike Papantonio had a show together.
Oh, what? Really? So he's an ex-radio jockey, man?
He is.
If you're on the radio, that you are qualified to do everything.
Unfortunately, I think as some of the prior theories of what caused autism and some of the prior thought links between vaccines and autism, I think as some of those things were disproven, I think Bobby Robert Kennedy Jr., I think is out there as sort of a kook at this point, sort of a fringe in that regard. But here, Dom, is the real problem. You ever gone barefoot in a public place? Like, I know you do the flip-flops, but have you ever taken off the flip-flops and just walked around on some dirty sidewalk? Or,
Generally not, but sure. Have I in my life? Sure. But I prefer the flip-floppies on when I'm walking down the sidewalk.
Like, you talk about working out at the JCC. You wear the shoes on the JCC, like from here to the shower, right? That's courtesy to you.
No, man. I'm barefoot. Come on, man. I'm in the shower, man. I'm going to go hit the sauna and the hot tub. And
you don't wear sandals between the sauna and the shower?
No, dude, I do not.
Well, then maybe you don't find this objectionable. But Robert Kennedy Jr. does something very objectionable. I don't know if I can tease this. I don't know if it's worth dragging out any longer.
I think we should tease it. We'll come back and we'll tell you. But I'm curious now as we go into break, Rudy, what kind of footwear do you wear in the locker room?
Flip-flops. Like sandally, but the hard ones, not the split-the-toe ones. I don't like that. No splitting of the toes. Toes split against themselves cannot keep Crudy standing united. I got to have the full foot jammed in the wedgie one. And then I'll take a shower. But what's the last time I was in a locker room? It's not a common frequent occurrence. That implies sweat.
Thank you. Finally got it.
844-967-2789.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap, As Goes Wisconsin, with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own?
It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got 4 in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to 4. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making and book
discounts. Radio show phone lines open for your tickets. Always at 844-967-2789.
So, is that enough teasing, Dom? Can we finally get to the facts?
Yes, let's do it. Let's lay it out there.
Just the facts, Jack.
Every time Crudy goes to the locker room, he wears flip-flops.
Which is rarely, and never the toe-splitting kind, only the, you know, thick plastic kind. Dom apparently sans flip-flops. The only time you don't wear flip-flops, as far as I'm aware, is on the tile floors of the JCC. That's really being discourteous, as far as I'm concerned.
What are you talking about, man? I mean, there's why?
You don't go barefoot in public, man? What are you, Robert Kennedy Jr. on an airplane? The hell's wrong with the two of you?
Not on an airplane.
Let me read the brief coverage. I did go to the original source. It was TMZ. But I actually prefer the coverage of the Daily Beast. He was the featured story when I found it. RFK Jr. goes barefoot down plane aisle on first class flight.
Ew.
RFK Jr. took being footloose and fancy free to another level earlier this month when he allegedly hoofed it down a plane aisle without any shoes or socks. You ever seen a grown man naked?
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Oh, look at Nate. He's right on this. Ever been to a Turkish prison?
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Nate, man, welcome to the party, man.
He's doing this of his own volition, but very, very powerful stuff. A photograph of the RFK Jr., who is running in the 2024 election as an independent, strolling through an aircraft. And here's the troubling part. Bear-toed! Was published Sunday by TMZ, which, yes, you can see all his toes. Which reported the stamp was captured during a November 2nd flight from Portland to Dallas. The tabloid attributed the photograph to Justin Hawkins, a conservative analyst, with the Heartland Institute, a public policy think tank known for its climate change denialism. Sweet job. Hawkins described the moment on an episode of the Institute's podcast last week. Everyone wants to be a podcaster, Dom. Here's his quote. The floor is covered with food and, like, disgusting food. You know, it is airport food. He's walking to the restroom with no shoes and no socks on, Haskins said. And I'm thinking, this guy is a presidential candidate? He doesn't wear shoes and socks on a plane in first class? What is this? Question mark.
What is this? What's happening?
Indeed. Jeff texted in. But are they better looking feet than three-toed MTG? Yes, absolutely. In that they're lift and separation of the toes.
Would you say he has presidential toes, Michael?
Not if I can see them. I never saw Obama's toes. Thankfully, I never even saw him.
Shirtless on the beach, right? In the water?
I didn't look at his toes, Dom.
Well, okay.
I've never seen Trump's toes.
I don't think Trump has seen his toes in quite some time.
Probably a few other body parts. So I think this is nearly disqualifying if we just tell enough people. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends. RFK is a barefooter on an airplane. That is quite close, Tom.
I mean, listen, I would say in my experience, and I've been to a lot of locker rooms, a lot of gyms. You know, I work out. I used to work on a farm.
Oh, it's so evident.
Most folks don't, you know, if you're in the shower or the whirlpool, whatever, they aren't wearing.
Well, I'm not saying in the whirlpool.
Okay, but I'm just saying that's been my experience. Some do, certainly. Most don't. But I've never seen anyone walk down the aisle of an airplane barefoot. Now, I get on the airplane with flip-flops on, especially going somewhere warm or coming back from somewhere warm, right? So I have the opportunity, if I so am so inclined, to just slip them off.
That's why when we fly, I never like to be next to you, you know, because I don't want to claim your bare toes. I don't want to see your toes. I don't want to claim your toes. Put some socks on if you're going to wear sandals like grown men do. Yeah. Get off my lawn, you kids.
Oh, that's fantastic. 844-967-2789. Mark from the sack. You wear sandals and socks, man, or you just go barefoot with the sandals?
Back me up on this. Back me up, Mark.
Well, I with the neuropathy of my feet, I probably have slippers on most of the time when I'm, you know, in the house. That
So socks and slippers or just slippers, Mark?
I would slippers. Yeah, pretty much that. But it all depends. But I was just thinking that I'm surprised that Trump hasn't trained Barron now to be coming out with a rousing of "Der Morgig Tag ist mine." You know, tomorrow belongs to me. That from Cabaret, that little Nazi ditty that came out that in that movie that's deeply disturbing. That because these guys are fascists. I mean, they're just pure and simple, and they're willing to go along with this.
Well, Mark. Here's the thing. So obviously, the speechwriters are, I would say, you know, selectively using some very specific words that have, you know, riled people up throughout history. But do you think the average Trump supporter, average Republican, you know, define them however you are, average conservative, do you think they're aware of that history? Do you think they care?
Well, they certainly should be aware of it. They should, and probably is it a failure of education system, or are they just ignoring it because they feel so put upon? They see well that, you know, you can't go out and lynch the black people anymore. You can't go out and beat the gay people up the way you'd like to, and the women folks sure are, you know, have too many rights these days. And these people are getting pretty upset about that.
Don't even get me started, Mark. You know what? You know the decline of Western civilization was no fault divorce. I mean, just ask any conservative. Thanks for the call, Martin. 844-967-2789.
Dom, I've been observing the text line. Cam texted in from Nina, says Chris Christie toes. I've not seen those. And then in all caps, too much fetish bashing. And that thought had not crossed my mind. But now that it has, back in your cage.
Not a fan. You know, feet are kind of gross, actually. But, you know, my feet are fine, but other people's feet are nasty.
Here's something else I'd like to point out to you, talking about bashing. I recall the day I sang on this fine radio program, something from the Sound of Music, I believe, sort of Hitlerish referenced. Actually, it was a few of my favorite things, I believe, or maybe it was a doe, a deer, a female deer.
I mean, it was Sound of Music. I mean, there was certainly an undertone of Nazism going on.
But I clearly recall the bashing. And you, my friend, you playing your producer soundtrack, dancing, literally pirouetting for the home viewer. Never bash my karaoke nights on the radio again, please. I know this one, too. I could sing this one, but I won't.
You had someone else singing with you, right?
Betsy. Betsy.
Good hell. That's right. Betsy.
You said, stop the singing before all our audience goes away. And literally, we took the call, and Betsy was singing at the same point I was. And I love her for it. And it was a promo. I think we hammered that thing for a while.
It was funny.
It was. I like to be funny occasionally. 844-967-2789. Nothing but serious politics around here. And foot fetishes. I didn't even think of that.
It's like I took the wrong week.
This is 93.5 The Tap. CBS News Brief, the largest hospital in Gaza, is having a hard time caring for its patients, says the BBC's Orla Garin in Jerusalem.
Israel claims that Hamas hides beneath Al-Shifa and operates a command center below ground. Hamas denies this, and so do doctors at the hospital.
In Oakland Monday night, dozens of protesters were arrested hours after they entered the rotunda of the federal building there. More than 700 Jewish people and their allies took part in the protest, many of them wearing black T-shirts, declaring Jews say ceasefire now. The federal government runs out of operating money on Friday. A Republican plan to keep the lights on is being called a waste of time by the Biden administration, says CBS's Nancy Cordes.
If we get to later in the week and negotiations don't bear fruit, it is entirely possible at that point that the president will come to a decision about how he feels and issue a veto threat.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Leaders with the universities of Wisconsin are urging lawmakers to release $32 million. They released a plan last week to bolster degree programs to prepare graduates for key jobs, but Republicans still want cuts to diversity offices. UW System President Jay Rothman says a deal's a deal.
We're taking the legislature at their word. They said this was focused on workforce development, and I think everyone in the state of Wisconsin can look at this and say, this is good for our state.
That's Rothman on Capital City Sunday on Channel 27 in Madison. A former Milwaukee police officer is acquitted of homicide charges. A Milwaukee jury on Friday found former officer Michael Mattioli not guilty in the 2020 death of Joel Acevedo. Mattioli says he was only trying to control Acevedo with a chokehold after a fight. He says he acted in self-defense. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies here in the overnight. Light south winds and temperatures down around 34 degrees at daybreak. We'll have a mix of clouds and sunshine, though, working in on Tuesday. That south breeze up around 35, the high 60. Cooler on Wednesday, sunny and up to 58. Right now it's 28.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown
and all of Wisconsin.
93.5, The Tap.
Picked the wrong week. Quit sniffing glue.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, rolling through a Monday happier happy hour. That seems like the right setup for this story, Dom. Donald Trump Jr. took the stand Monday. Trump Jr. back on the stand. Among other things, he joked about perjury, praised his father's eye for sexiness in real estate.
What?
And compared one Trump Organization building to the National Monument of France that boasts the Mona Lisa, Dom. It's called the Louvre. Yes, the Trump portfolio equitable to the Louvre and the Mona Lisa, of course. CNN reported that Trump Jr. testifying in the $250 million civil trial brought by Attorney General Letitia James referred additions made to the Trump Park Avenue as being like the Louvre with glass cubes added to provide more light. Those are called solar tubes, man. You probably put a couple of skylights in. Frank Runyon, a court reporter with Law 360, detailed more of the testimony about the grandeur of the Trump Organization's assets, quoting Trump Jr. as saying the following: magical, a sexy place, amazing location, highest price per square foot, incredible, almost like the Louvre, very special, extra something, the ultimate penthouse, spectacular. He's loving it, Dom, clearly.
I find it sexy.
It's so very sexy.
Trump Jr.'s glowing praise, accompanied by more than 100 slides, did not stand up to cross-examination, shocker, from the Attorney General's office, which pulled up a slide of Trump's Los Angeles golf course. Didn't the 18th hole of this golf course literally... Sorry, I'm trying to keep a straight face here, Dom. Didn't the 18th hole at this golf course literally fall into the ocean? The attorney reportedly asked. Trump Jr. agreed. Yes, that is a hell of a water hazard. The testimony doubles down on his brother Eric Trump's commentary on Fox News over the weekend, during which he called the Trump Organization holdings the Mona Lisas of the real estate world. Is she smiling? Who can tell, Dom? Responded Democratic political strategist Adam Parkamenko. I honestly didn't think Eric Trump could get any dumber. That's someone else's statement, Dom. I would never use a broad brush like that on either of the Trump boys, especially Fredo.
So was it Eric or Jr. testifying today, or both?
It was Don Jr. Don okay. Jr. There's more. If you look around, the judge gave him a little, what do you call it? Rope to hang himself with, Dom?
A little leeway.
He was given some leeway to brag about the Trump org. Let me just read briefly. I found this one over at the Raw story, as you know, Dom, one of my favorite sources. Trump gives, Judge Ingeron, right? Gives Trump attorney rope to hang himself. Talk about how great the Trump org is. When the judge is telling you that, let me read a little from this article. New York Supreme Court Justice Arthur Ingeron ruled that attorneys for Donald Trump could use public relations materials from his website in his $250 million fraud trial. That's always the best stuff. The stuff I write about myself.
Go to the website.
Have you looked on Wikipedia? The New York Attorney General's office objected on Monday after attorneys for Trump presented a PowerPoint slide called The Trump Story while Donald Trump Jr. was on the stand. From lowly beginnings on Fifth Avenue. No, let me read on. Prosecutor Colleen Faherty objected to the grounds that the presentation was untethered to anything relevant. That seems like a good objection.
Oh, they just got to get into the record, man.
But Ingeron overruled the objection. Objections overruled. Let him go ahead and talk about how great the Trump Organization is. That seems like it might contain a little sarcasm, Dom. As they've already been found guilty of fraud, right? Inflating the value of their assets. And now they're talking about how great they are And he's the one that gets to set the fines and the penalties, right? No, no. Tell me how great you are again.
Don't
how
stop,
much money please. It's all worth according to you, but not the, you know, the appraisers. 844-967-2789. John from Boaz. How you doing, John?
Hey, John.
Hi, guys. Hi. This is the greatest radio show ever.
You tell everyone that.
Sounds like it.
If you believe it, you tell everyone. If you don't believe it, don't tell anyone.
Because I would like to change gears once and start talking about your federal. He is a felon, and he's convicted, and he's running for president.
He's not convicted. Not convicted yet, John. Still do his process at this point.
You know who I'm talking about. Well, this is what his peers said from the Central Intelligence, the Defense Department, and its National Security Advisor. This is what they said. What would happen if we ever got into a real crisis with Trump as president?
Well, he
what would happen?
Go on the stage in Helsinki and basically give Putin a handy, near as I can tell.
What if he presses the big one?
Well, John, that's a risk for all those guys, isn't it?
But Trump is the worst one. He's a felon.
John, I will relish the day when I can say you're absolutely right. He's a convicted felon, but he's an accused felon 91 times.
I was going to say 91 times.
But the weight of the accusations until there is a conviction in a court of law has no bearing. You know, I think he's a criminal, and I think you think he's a criminal, but that's just because I've read what's in the public record. The criming's been pretty flaunted through the years, so I think he will eventually get convicted. But until then, you know, we owe him the benefit of the doubt. I'm sorry. It's hard to say. It's hard to say. Thanks for listening, John.
Yes, thank you, John. And again, the conversation to be had. Donald Trump has already said, you know, and has indicated as much, he'll use the force of the government to go after his adversaries, right? You know, the vermin, as he calls them.
Are you sure he's not talking about like the Star Wars literal force, like mind melding them or Darth Vadering him up against a wall?
Of course, no.
Throwing ketchup on him?
Lots of ketchup throwing. 844-967-2789. Let me throw this one out there. Crudy, ABC News. Well, here's their article. The boss is not going to leave. Proffer videos show ex-Trump lawyers telling Georgia prosecutors about efforts to overturn the 2020 election. ABC News obtained video from interviews held with Jenna Ellis and Sidney Powell. And I think I highlighted a part here I want to share with you with Sidney Powell. And if I can find it again, 844-967-2789. Sidney Powell and Jenna Ellis. I think it was Ellis. We don't care. Here it is. Let me throw this one out there. Then we'll get back to the phones again. 844-967-2789. In the video of prosecutors' October 23rd proffer session with Ellis, she said that one of Trump's top White House aides, Dan Scavino, allegedly told her in an excited tone at a White House Christmas party weeks after the 2020 election that, quote, the boss is not going to leave under any circumstances, unquote. Ellis specifically noted during the proffer session.
Maybe he meant the Christmas party, Dom. You know, who wants... I'm staying all night.
Having so much fun. That's right. I never want this night to end. Scavino, who worked for Donald Trump for decades at the Trump Organization before joining his presidential bid, came in response to her, again, Jenna Ellis, her apologizing over the lack of success with their election challenges in court, culminating with a Supreme Court loss, another one, that indicated their ability to challenge the election was essentially over. And he said to me, in kind of an excited tone, quote, well, we don't care. We're not going to leave. Ellis said of the alleged December 19th conversation with Scavino. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the boss, meaning Trump, and everyone understood the boss, that's what we called him, said, the boss is not going to leave under any circumstances. We're just going to stay in power. Ellis continued. And I said to him, well, it doesn't quite work that way, you realize. He said, we don't care.
The you and what army theory. Little preview, foreshadowing.
I mean, sure, we knew all this, right? And this seems, you know, par for the course with those around him. Of course, we know they don't care. I mean, hell, Mrs. Trump, she wore the jacket. They don't care. 844-967-2789.
Oh, you can't hold her fashion choices against the old man.
Fascist choices? I'm sorry, fashion choices.
Did I misspeak there? I can see where you might mishear me.
Yeah. Mike from Cedarburg, Wisconsin. Welcome, Mike. What do you got for us?
Strong name, Mike.
Well, why do you guys keep referencing polls? Did you ever listen to old Lee Dreyfus? The only polls he trusted were on the south side of Milwaukee and Stevens Point.
Right, Mike. I don't know, man, especially this far out in the oversampling of Republicans, man. It's hard. There's a lot that can change, Mike.
Or maybe you guys polled answers, too. You know, we trust those.
Polled answers, did you say?
Yeah. Tell me you've never seen them, of course.
Well, Dom tells me about them occasionally, but last time I was in a strip club was with Dom after the Brewers won a, they were like in the divisional round of the playoffs. So that's got to be like 15 years ago. It's been a long time, Mike. And we were meeting a college buddy there. I wasn't there of my own volition, just for the record.
Well, just so the record, fellow vermin, we don't trust the polls. And know what Trump calls us now?
Well, he did over the weekend. Do you perceive yourself to be one that he would target with this invective?
Is this the opposite of the deplorable comments, you know, vermin versus deplorable? Is that similar? But I don't remember like Mussolini or Hitler referring to deplorables specifically more as vermin.
I can't.
Mike, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, they were all vermin, according to Hitler. Boy, he's playing right out of his playbook, ain't he?
Well, I got to think Stephen Miller's probably been a recent contributor to his speeches and social media posting. Mike, appreciate it. Accusing us of pole dancing, Dom. Now coming to the stage, Dominic.
Yeah, stick around for Crudy on deck. Crudy on deck. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789. I mean, we got to laugh. We got to have fun. Otherwise, oh my God, the gravity of the comments by the former guy and what's going on in this country right now. And this, it's funny because I hear other conservative, you know, talkers and they all sound like, you know, well, they're the ones upholding the Constitution. And it's all those, you know, lefties that are the ones that are, you know, mucking it up for everybody.
By trying to steal elections.
Democracy.
Through absentee ballot voting or whatever the case may be, man. It doesn't really matter what the facts are, does it? They've got old facts.
It does matter, man. It matters to me. It matters to anybody I hang around with, man. It matters for credibility. It matters for character. You know, there's got to be some basis in fact. Otherwise, what are we doing? I mean, yeah, if you have no basis in fact, if we can't look at a situation like, I don't know, January 6th, for example. Let's just look at that one. If you think that, it was a peaceful protest and everyone stayed within the velvet ropes, you know, we have a different view of reality. No, I would concur, yeah. When they first started strolling around in there and we saw some of the video that Tucker put out there. Whatever happened to that guy? That Tucker put out there? Well, for a minute they were. They were just kind of strolling around until they weren't. Until they started destroying the place and beating up cops and clubbing them with flagpoles and spraying them with bear spray and tasering them. You know, the thin blue line. Yeah, so, I mean, how can you continue to defend the MAGA movement knowing what we saw, man? We saw it. We were on the radio when that happened, man. All you got to do is look. It's right there. They were doing it, and they were there because Trump assembled the mob, and he set them on the Capitol.
We'll be wild. January 6th. Devil's Advocates, final segment. We'll be wild. Stick around.
We'll be right back.
93.5 The Tap.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines at 844-967-2789. Stick around, the Maggie Dawn Show coming up next and tomorrow on this big program. Melissa Sanchez, a reporter at ProPublica. We're going to talk about the Wisconsin migrant farm workers. We've touched on that last week. We're going to continue that conversation. Melissa Agard, our minority senator from Wisconsin, she's going to join us on Wednesday. Of course, a proud favorite, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannolis on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11 on Saturdays. He's going to join us on Thursday.
You know, Jim, I call him Jim because we're close like that. Jim Santel and I do a little private event with the Blue Skies Waukesha tomorrow night. I'll be in Waukesha, Dom. I'll be in the AUK studios, the Shaw. Jim and I are speakers, but we're being limited to 10 minutes. And I'm thinking, you can't put Crudy in a corner. 10 minutes.
You turn that mic off in 10 minutes.